The time has now arrived for the baptism discourse. We invite all baptism candidates who have not already done so to come to the seats reserved for them, located directly in front of the stage on the ice level. The day of one's baptism is an important and serious one. You baptism candidates have taken many courageous steps to reach this day, including dedicating your life to Jehovah God. What will help you to remain courageous in the days ahead? Why can you be confident that Jehovah will help you to live up to your dedication vow? We know you will enjoy hearing the answers presented in the baptism discourse entitled, "We Are Not the Sort Who Shrink Back." The talk will be given by Brother Joel Ramcharan, a member of our Regional Convention Committee and a pioneer elder from the Edmonton Castle Downs Congregation. Brother Ramcharan, you have our attention.
All of us here today rejoice with you baptism candidates. After many months, a year or perhaps longer of prayer, study, and hard work, you've qualified for Christian baptism. And soon you're going to go on record as having dedicated yourself to Jehovah God. And so you're going to join millions who are pursuing the best way of life. So to all of you, we extend a very warm welcome. So you too are joyful today, aren't you? And you're eager to take a step, and rightly so. Baptism brings many, many blessings. For example, you're now going to join a global Christian brotherhood. So basically, you can travel anywhere in the world. You meet your brother and sister at a particular congregation meeting or an assembly, and within a very short period of time, they will be your friends. They will be your brothers and your sisters. So that's a beautiful thing that we have in this very divided world. Another benefit of being a dedicated witness of Jehovah is you will be able to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Enjoy that intimate relationship with Jehovah. What a beautiful privilege that is. But at the same time, perhaps you're a little bit nervous. You're wondering, do I have what it takes to live up to my Christian dedication? Will I be able to serve Jehovah forever? So perhaps you have some of those concerns. We are convinced that you can succeed. With Jehovah's help, you will be able to succeed. And we have the same confidence in you that the Apostle Paul had in those in the first century, in the congregation in Judea. We're going to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look at his words in verse 39. So that's Hebrews 10 and verse 39. And he says there, "Now we are not the sort who shrink back to destruction, but the sort who have faith for the preserving of our lives." So Paul didn't write in this verse, "We hope you will not shrink back." No. Do you notice? He was confident. He said, "We are not the sort who shrink back to destruction." So we have similar confidence in you as the Apostle Paul had in those Christians in the first century. And why do we have that confidence in you? Well, for three reasons. First of all, you have already shown courage to get to this point. Secondly, you can draw courage from the examples of others who will overcome challenges similar to the ones you will face in the future. And thirdly, Jehovah God will help you to remain courageous. Let's talk about the first one, how you've shown courage up to this point. To qualify for Christian baptism, There are many things that perhaps you've had to adjust. You've had to show real courage. We're going to mention a few things, and maybe some of these things apply to you, but maybe not all of them. Notice the first one. You have changed long-held unscriptural beliefs. So perhaps you believed in the Trinity, the Hellfire Doctrine, but you've rejected those. And now you're serving Jehovah in the way He wants to be served, in spirit and in truth. Secondly, you've broken free from unclean habits. Perhaps you used to smoke, use illicit drugs, or abuse alcohol. But you've rejected that. You're no longer doing that. And you know, if you struggled with an unclean habit such as what we mentioned, it took more than willpower to overcome that. It took godly courage. You know, willpower is good when it comes to maybe avoiding that second donut or not eating that chocolate cake that we know we should avoid. That's perhaps willpower. But to avoid these things, to push them to the side, that took godly courage. And we commend you for that. One sister said this. She said, "With Jehovah's help, I cleaned up my life and broke free from my addictions. I think it would have been impossible for me to make these changes on my own." So you probably feel the same way if you struggled with some of those habits. What's another thing perhaps you've had to deal with? You've abandoned immoral practices. That might have been a thing that was a challenge for you. Or maybe you have struggled with this matter of remaining neutral when it comes to the activities of the world. So you're certainly not picking up arms to fight against others, and you're not becoming involved in politics or discussing politics. So certainly that's a favorite pastime for many, but no, you're no longer doing that. And here's a very important thing, or another thing perhaps that you've come to realize regarding godly courage, is that you have chosen the less popular path. Let's look at a scripture and see how that's described. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says there, "Go in through the narrow gate, because broad is the gate, and spacious is the road leading off into destruction, and many are going through it. Whereas narrow is the gate, and cramped the road leading off into life, and few are finding it." Yes, so you chose the narrow gate, the cramped road, and you notice what it says there? It says, "And few are the ones who are finding it." So let's maybe illustrate it this way. What's the least popular vegetable in North America? What's the vegetable that a lot of people avoid? Do you maybe have a thought on what that might be? I'll give you a couple of guesses. Eggplant? No, it's not eggplant. Okay, you figure you know. What about broccoli? Is it maybe broccoli? Actually, it's not broccoli. You know what it is, friends? It's Brussels sprouts. Does that surprise you a little bit? Probably not. Perhaps when you heard that, you said, "Yuck. I do not like Brussels sprouts." But you know what? If you choose to eat Brussels sprouts, you are in the minority when it comes to the general population. If you choose to walk on the path that we mentioned in that scripture, you are also in the minority when it comes to the general population. But here's the point, friends. Brussels sprouts are great for your health. There's a lot of short-term and long-term benefits from eating Brussels sprouts. In a similar way, walking in that least popular path is great for your spiritual health. There's a lot of short-term and long-term blessings from doing so. And isn't it true? You probably never think about Brussels sprouts the same way. And friends, I will stop talking about food for a little bit. The other thing that you likely have dealt with is persecution. You've endured persecution. And isn't it true that Jesus said that as His followers, we should expect that we will be persecuted? It's one thing reading that, but when you experience that from a family member or perhaps a so-called friend, It's hard, isn't it? But you've endured, and we're happy that you've shown godly courage, that you haven't given up. So having succeeded thus far, are you not determined to continue walking on the same course of integrity? Well, we're confident that you are. After your baptism, you're going to need to show courage, godly courage, because God's servants are a special target of Satan the devil. You know, unlike Jehovah and Jesus and the faithful angels and all of us present here today, Satan is not happy regarding your dedication and the step you will soon take in getting baptized. You know that he tempted Jesus shortly after his baptism, and he will look for an opportunity to test you shortly after your baptism. Have you ever heard of facial recognition software? Is that a term you've heard of before? In fact, on some new cell phones, you can actually hold up the phone to your face and it will use biometrics. And in fact, you can unlock your phone without having to put in a password. You know, in a country such as China and the UK, they have thousands of cameras and they use facial recognition software to be able to track people. It could be whether it be criminals, even to find a lost child. So there's many benefits on having this type of software. But you know, Satan has also been using facial recognition software for centuries. Can you imagine from his vantage point being able to scan millions of people? And as he scans those people, what does he do? Well, for most people, he's not really that interested because they are already doing things his way. But he focuses, he targets on servants of Jehovah. And he's able now to then have a specialized temptation for Jehovah's people. So the question is not if Satan will try to tempt you, but the question is when he will try to tempt you. So when you are faced with those tests, we encourage you to meditate on good examples, both in Bible times as well as in modern times. Recall Paul's words that we looked at in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39. Hebrews 10 and verse 39. Do you remember he said that we are not the sort who shrink back? This word shrink back means more than having a temporary bout of fear. We're not talking about that because, you know what, faithful servants have had that situation. You think about David. He had a situation where he got very fearful. Or also, you may think about Elijah. Do you remember when he was threatened by wicked Queen Jezebel? Well, he bolted. He ran. He was afraid. We're not talking about that. When we use that word to shrink back, that means to withdraw from our course of service to Jehovah, to pull back, to almost stop serving our God Jehovah. When Paul wrote those words to the Hebrew Christians, it's interesting what was going on, what type of pressure those Christians had. In fact, they had tremendous pressure to return to their former way of life. These are some of the facts. It had been 30 years since Jesus had foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. And so for many Christians, they were concerned because it had not happened. So they thought it wasn't going to happen. Or if it was going to happen, it wasn't going to be in their lifetime. They also had to face the tremendous contempt and taunts from the religious leaders. They looked down on the Christians. You know what they said to them? They said, "We have the great temple. We have the priest. We have daily services at the temple. We have the law that was transmitted by the angels to Moses. What do you people have? What do you Christians have?" So they really looked down on them. So we can see why Paul used faithful examples of ones in the past to help them to build their courage, to bolster them, to help them to show godly courage. Let's look at some of those examples. I invite you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verses 30 And then we'll look at verses 32 to 34 and then verse 36. Notice what it says there in Hebrews 11 and 30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Verse 32, and what more will I say? For time will fail me if I go on to relate about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, as well as Samuel and the other prophets. Through faith, they defeated kingdoms. Brought by righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the force of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From a weak state were made powerful, became mighty in war, routed invading armies. And then look at verse 36 also. It says, yes, others received their trial by mockings and scourgings, indeed, more than that, by chains and prisons. So a couple of these verses we're just going to focus on briefly. Notice verse 30. It talks about the walls of Jericho fell. So we might remember, and even some of these examples were considered in our preceding symposium, regarding Joshua and Caleb. They trusted in Jehovah. We remember the other spies. The other 10 did not trust in Jehovah. They became very fearful, but not with Joshua, not with Caleb. And what happened? Well, eventually, by Jehovah's power, the walls of Jericho fell. And they were able to go into that city and plunder it and receive its spoil. Verse 33, it talks about they defeated kingdoms. So, not long ago in our symposium, we considered the account of Jael. She was courageous, wasn't she? She stood up to an enemy of God's people. So we remember that account, right, with Sisera. He was a powerful army chief. And he made his way to the tent of Jael. And she now encounters this very powerful man. So how would she defeat this powerful man? Well, she would use a couple of tools. She used warm milk. Did she? Well, do you remember he asked for water? But she gave him milk. And we know they didn't have refrigerators back then. So you can imagine the milk was warm. He was very tired. And he decided that he wanted to take a nap or take a sleep. So what else did she do? Well, can you imagine her observing him perhaps in the corner of the tent? And he's sleeping. He's snoring. Could you see his body rising up and down as he's snoring? Up and down as he's snoring. And maybe from a distance, she's looking at him, and she decides what she's going to do. This is an oppressor of God's people. So she decides that she's going to take action. Do you imagine that she was perhaps creeping up to him very gently so that he would not wake up? Do you know when you're trying to sneak up on someone how careful you are, but oftentimes you end up knocking things over? Could you imagine she was worried about that? Probably. But she snuck up very carefully. And no doubt as she had that tent peg in her hand with the mallet, do you imagine her hand was shaking as she decided to make that move to be able to kill him? Could you imagine that his eyes were closed and that as she walked up, she imagined his eyes opening and her being afraid? Absolutely. So did it take great courage on her part to do what she did? Yes. It took tremendous courage for her to do what she did. You notice also in verse 36, it talks about by chains and prisons. So this is likely referring to the prophets Micaiah and Jeremiah. And as we know, their account, they endured much persecution. They endured imprisonment for speaking the truth, for being honest. And in fact, we know Micaiah, he in fact was slapped by one of the false prophets, and then he was thrown in jail. But yet, he still showed great courage. So no doubt, these examples and other examples really encouraged those Christians in the first century. Encouraged them to show godly courage. Not to be discouraged by the religious leaders who were looking down on them. And as a whole, these Christians did not shrink back. They were able to continue serving God faithfully. So we likewise do well to reflect on these wonderful examples we find in God's Word. We could make those Bible characters real to us. We can imitate their faith. And we encourage you to do that. We can also take courage in knowing that in our modern day, we have many brothers and sisters who have not shrunk back after their baptism. Let's meet two of them. We're going to interview Sister Courtley from the Fort McMurray congregation. Sister Courtley, what tested your faith after you were baptized?
It's related to my growing up in Japan, where I faced intense pressure in community. In high school, when I was 17, all the grade 12 students were expected to participate in this traditional cultural activity called dragon dance, which has the pagan origins.
Okay, so what did you do?
Since I was baptized, I knew I have to take a stand. So I explained to my gym teacher, Miss Mori, why my Bible-trained conscience didn't allow me to participate in seemingly harmless activity.
Okay. Was that easy for you?
No. I was afraid and also scared to be only witness among 400 grade 12 students. And also this practice of dragon dance lasted for 4 months as a part of gym class, which I had to attend. And my decision not to participate wasn't welcomed by everyone.
Okay, thank you. So what helped you not to shrink back?
Well, my mother taught me the importance of sticking loyal to Jehovah's side at all times. Since when I was little, she trained me to be faithful in what is least, so I can be faithful in much.
Okay, excellent. Anyone else help you?
I personally knew two sisters who went to the same school, and we went through the exact same test of faith. Kayo and Miyoko, they have to complete hours of push-ups to compensate their refusal to participate. I really wanted to imitate their courageous examples.
Okay, thank you very much, Sister Courtley, for your fine example. We're now going to interview Brother Lee Foster from the Sturgeon Heights congregation in St. Albert. Brother Foster, what tested your courage around the time of your baptism?
Well, I do remember the day before I got baptized. My family said, if you go through with this, we'll have to mourn you as if you died. They also said that they would remove all the photos that had me in it, and it'll be like I never existed. And to be honest, those words hurt.
Okay. So obviously you did get baptized. Did they follow through on those threats?
Yes, they did. I even remember that I would receive the odd phone call from my older sister, and she would say things like, why are you causing so much stress to Mom and Dad? If anything happens to them, you will be the cause of it.
Okay, so that sounds like quite a difficult situation. So what helped you not to shrink back?
Three things. First, there was a dear sister by the name of Shirley Bevins. And I remember she gave me a card, and the words in it really encouraged me to continue making spiritual progress. And second, after I was married, my wife, she was a huge support. She reminded me often that Jesus was persecuted for doing Jehovah's will, and she continues to be an amazing spiritual support. And third, when I was alone and had feelings of guilt that I was causing so much stress to my parents, I often read and meditated on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and prayer. 100% prayer was important. And with those things combined, Jehovah gave me the courage to continue to serve Him.
Okay, thank you, Brother Foster, for your great example. So So for you baptism candidates, why can you be sure that God will help you to be courageous? Well, because Jehovah promises to give you the strength that you need to continue to be courageous. Let's look at a scripture that says that. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, "But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all undeserved kindness who called you to his everlasting glory in union with Christ will himself finish your training. He will make you firm. He will make you strong. He will firmly ground you." Isn't that a beautiful scripture? But why can you have confidence in those words, in what it says there? Well, first of all, Jehovah drew you personally to the truth. Do you know the population of Canada is about 37 million? In the world, it's about 8 billion, give or take a few million. That's a large amount of people. But Jehovah, out of all of these people, what he does is he searches hearts. And when he finds those who are inclined towards them, are inclined towards him, he acts by means of his word and by means of his Holy Spirit to draw you to him. And that's precisely what he did with you. So that's one of the reasons you can have courage in these words found in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. A second reason is God rejoices over your choice and your decision to serve him. And he wants you to succeed. And because he wants you to succeed, he will help you to follow through on that choice that you have made. And thirdly, Jehovah gave his son's life in your behalf, which shows tremendous love for you, and which demonstrates that he wants you to help. So having paid such a high price for faithful people, we should not doubt that he will kindly give us all other things, including the strength not to shrink back, but the strength to be courageous. In conclusion, Jehovah is eager to reward his courageous servants, including all of you baptism candidates. Let's go back to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and let's look at verses chapter 10 and verse 35 and 36. So Hebrews chapter 10, 35 and 36. It says, "Therefore, do not throw away your boldness, which will be richly rewarded. For you need endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the fulfillment of the promise." And then once again, verse 39, "Now we are not the sort who shrink back to destruction, but the sort who have faith for the preserving of our lives." So we are confident in you baptism candidates that you are not the sort who will shrink back to destruction, but you are the sort who have faith. And so to quote the words of Proverbs 22 and 26, may you enjoy life forever. So now we've reached the point, baptism candidates, where you're able to make a public declaration of your personal dedication. So we'd like to ask you to all stand, please. So please answer the following two questions in a loud voice. So the first question, on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you repented of your sins and dedicated yourself to Jehovah to do his will? Your answer, please. Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Second question, do you understand that your dedication and baptism identify you as one of Jehovah's Witnesses in association with God's Spirit-directed organization? Your answer, please. Thank you. So your clear affirmative answer indicates that you are qualified for baptism as ordained ministers of Jehovah. It would be appropriate at this time for us to approach our God Jehovah in prayer. Jehovah God, it is a delight for us to be able to approach you this afternoon, to be able to thank you for the wonderful day we've enjoyed thus far, listening to the various talks and the symposium just preceding this talk, and really to be able to focus in on you and your wonderful qualities. We thank you now that we have so many who have presented themselves to be baptized, our dear brothers and sisters who have dedicated their lives to you and are seeking to do your will. We ask that you continue to bless them, help them to show godly courage, help them to be able to stand up to the various temptations and trials that Satan will no doubt put in front of them, and perhaps very soon. Help them to continue to rejoice in the wonderful hope that we have for the future. And we know that as we put our trust in you, that we will never be disappointed, that we will always come off victorious. And so please, Jehovah, may you bless our baptism candidates individually, help them, help their families to continue to walk in the way of the truth. And we know now they belong to a united brotherhood that will embrace them and that will also help them to remain faithful. And so we thank you for that, Jehovah. We thank you for the privilege we have now of being able to see these faithful ones get baptized. And may you bless their future. And may you help them to continue to show that godly courage that we all need so much in these critical last days. We thank you once again, Jehovah. We've very much enjoyed our regional convention thus far. Please continue to bless it. Bless our afternoon. Bless tomorrow. And we look forward to continuing to receive instructions from you, which will help us to remain firm in the truth. Once again, Jehovah, we give you praise and we give you thanks. And we ask all of this through our ransomer, Jesus Christ. Amen.